yes, this is a mask, and yes, this is a Star Wars mask, and yes, my mom made this mask. And I'm really proud of all of that. So I just want to say, hello, greetings to all of you family of those who are being baptized today. I recognize that at least some of you are not typically part of Northeast Christian Church, but we just warmly welcome you here. Thank you so much for coming today. We pray that this time is a really special blessing to you. And also want to say a warm welcome, warm greeting and what's up to the Northeast folk who are watching online. Thanks for being part of this. It's so good, especially in this season, just to know that we're in this together still and growing in faith in Jesus, and we get to do that together today even. So before we go any further, before I jump into this message, let's just take a kind of collective deep breath here, and let's go before God in prayer. And so, God, we pray that you would open our eyes so that we may see the just glimpses of the truth that you have for us. God, I pray that even in the midst of all of the unique parts of this morning, the virus, the masks, new faces and a new place and online, God, I pray that in the midst of that, here in this room and in living rooms across this city and area, God, that you would move powerfully by your Holy Spirit to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish today. We surrender to you, and we ask, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, and everyone agreed and said, amen. So that's one of the things that I like to do when I have the opportunity to preach. Is I say that line, and everybody agreed and said, and that's when you guys yell out, amen. So let's practice that one more time. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Oh man, it's so good. I miss that a lot. So if we had a whiteboard up here, and we were together, both the people in this room and those online, if we were to make a list of the most important aspects of being the church together, like what it means to really be the church together, like a top 10 list or a top 20 or maybe even a top 50 list of those most important aspects of being the church together, I'm very confident that we could come up with a really good list of things. And we would say things like faith and hope and love. Those are all over the New Testament. We would say the Spirit of God. We would certainly say the kingdom of God. We would say the unity of the church. That's a huge one. The unity of the church, the gathering of the church, making disciples, being in community, relationship, formation, mission, creativity, prayer, confession, theology, faith, teaching, music, and more. We would make a really good list. And my dear brothers and sisters, this morning, let's be reminded that baptism should be on that list. This ancient act of going under the water and then coming back up out of the water, I believe is in the top 20, maybe even in the top 10 aspects, most important aspects of being the church together. And this morning, I want you to know that this message is going to be a little bit shorter, and more important than that, that it is aimed primarily at these four who are being baptized today. Will Smith, not Will Smith, just in case you guys were wondering. I practiced that joke so many times this week. Will Guthrie and Smith Wieland and Ramey Coons. Where's Ramey? There she is right there. And Jackson Hauser, right there. I want you to know that this message is aimed primarily at you. And then secondarily at everyone else who is listening in. And I want the four of you to know that what you are about to do here in a few moments is really significant and it's really exciting. This act of baptism is indeed one of the most important aspects of following Jesus and being part of his people. In fact, in so many ways, this act and what it symbolizes defines you. It defines you from this day forward. At the end of Matthew's gospel account in Matthew 28, Matthew records for us some of the most famous words of Jesus. It's often called the Great Commission. And in the account, the crucified and risen King Jesus, let me say that again, the crucified and risen King Jesus said some absolutely incredible things to his followers. And notice that so much of what he said had to do with all. All, like A-L-L, all. Not some, not part, and not even most, but all. It says this, Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them, to his followers, and said, all authority, there's that word, all authority, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I mean, we could stop just right there. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And then he said, therefore, my people, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, to obey all the things I have commanded you. And then he said, surely I am with you. Jesus said to his people, surely I am with you always, all of the time, to the very end of the age. Jesus has all authority. Jesus calls us to surrender all things to him as king. That's what it means to be his disciple, to obey everything, to obey all the things he has commanded us. And as part of that, Jesus commissions us to help others from all over the world to do the same. And as we go, surely, he says, I am with you all of the time. And get this. The sign and symbol, the God-ordained sign and symbol that we are in with this whole thing is to have all of our body immersed into the water. And so again, Will and Smith and Ramey and Jackson, this act and what it symbolizes defines you from this day forward. More than your Enneagram type defines you, more than your Instagram account, way more than your Instagram account defines you, more than your circumstances today or whatever your circumstances will be going forward in your life, more than how you look, more than how you feel, more than your personality, more than your strengths or your weaknesses, more than your education or your career or your accomplishments or your friends or even your family. Your baptism defines you more. And here's what it says. You are one who is in union with Jesus and with his followers. This is your identity in Jesus, and this is what your baptism proclaims. You are one who is in union, one who is deeply joined together with King Jesus and with his followers. Because you have heard about Jesus, that's a pretty amazing thing right there. You have heard in your life, you have heard about Jesus. Someone told you about Jesus. Actually, looking around, many people told you about Jesus and about his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and what that means for the world and for you. And in response, you have turned to him. You have believed in Jesus. That is to say, because you have given your allegiance to him as king and put your trust in him for forgiveness of your sin and new life, you are one who is in union with him and with his followers. The word baptism, or in the Greek baptizo, there, which is used in Matthew 28, means to plunge or to dip or to immerse. And in the first century, baptizo was a word that was used prominently in the dye industry, the color and dye industry. It was the word that was used when a cloth was dipped or plunged or immersed into a dye of some color. The cloth was white, and then the cloth was immersed into the dye, and then the cloth came up a new color. The cloth experienced union, being deeply joined together with that color, so much so that it became that new and different color. Not some of it, not part of it, not even most of it, but all of it. All of it had this new identity in union with that color. And that's what baptism proclaims. We are deeply joined together with King Jesus. We are in loving union with him now and literally forever. Going under the water, which again you are about to do in a few moments here, going under the water is union with Jesus in his death and burial, and then coming back up out of the water is union with Jesus in his resurrection and new life. That's the point the Apostle Paul makes in Romans chapter 6. He writes, all of us who were baptized into King Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as the King was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, here we go, we too may live a new life. You see, along with this union comes a completely new color, so to speak, a new identity and a new life. Your baptism today is a tangible experience. It is a moment, a point in time that you will always be able to point back to in which you publicly proclaimed your allegiance to and union with King Jesus. And again, it defines you more. It says that once and for all, you have been adopted by Father God. It says once and for all, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. It says once and for all that you are part of the covenant people of God in Jesus. It says once and for all that you are part of the unshakable kingdom of God now and forever. It says once and for all that you have been forgiven of all, there's our word again, of all of your sin, completely cleansed. You have an all new identity. You are an all new creation, and flowing from that, you have an all new life and an all new mission of making disciples of all nations. And as the four of you go, wherever you go, wherever you go, Jesus is with you all of the time. And not only that, we are all in this together with you. You are one who is in union with King Jesus, yes, and with his followers. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It was on Paul's whiteboard list. In 1 Corinthians 12, he writes, we were all baptized into one body. You see, baptism is also about this mysterious and real union that we have together. Even right in this room, there's a number of churches represented, and I don't even know who's all watching online, but we are all in union, mysterious and real union in him. This union that brings a diverse people together in unity in Jesus. In the first century, it was Jews and Greeks. This had never been done. Jews and Greeks and Syrians and Cyprians and Africans and slave and free and rich and poor and formerly homeless children and women and men all going under and then coming back up out of the very same waters. All in union with Jesus and therefore in union with one another. And now today, there are people here and taking this in online, some of whom are Purdue fans, and some of whom are IU fans. And we are all in union with Jesus, and therefore we are all in union with one another. Can I get an amen? There are some here today who are Colts fans, and there are some who are Patriots fans. I'm just kidding, there are no Patriots fans here. But if there were, we would be all in union. We'd all be in union with Jesus, and therefore we would be in union with one another, deeply joined together. There are some here, and taking this in, who vote Republican, and there are some who vote Democrat, there are some who vote independent, and there are some who do not vote. And we are all in union with Jesus, and therefore in union with one another. There are some who have this idea over here about whatever it is, some who have this idea over here, some who have this idea that's way up close, and some have these ideas who are way out there, if you know what I mean. But we are all in union with Jesus, and therefore we are in union with one another. We are the church, and Will, and Smith, and Ramey, and Jackson, you get to be part of that forever. Forever. And you are part, you four are part of this local expression of the church for a season. And I hope that it's a long season. That's certainly our heart. But the reality is that it will be, you will be part of this local expression of the church for a season. And then, for whatever reasons, you'll get to journey with another group of Jesus followers in that next season. And I just want to say that regardless of what all, however that plays out, regardless of what those experiences from season to season might be like, regardless of how beautiful or messy or probably both it will be, you are in union with Jesus, and therefore you are in deep union with his people. Your baptism defines you more. Martin Luther called baptism the daily garment. He used this metaphor, the daily garment he is to wear all of the time. And my prayer for the four of you is that you would do the same. By the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would find all kinds of ways to, in essence, put on your baptism as the daily garment you wear all of the time, so that these glorious truths that are true about you would be imprinted on your hearts moment by moment and day by day as you walk with Jesus and with his people. I'll say it again. You are one. You are one. You are one. And you are one who is in union with King Jesus and with his followers. And everybody agreed and said, amen. And so here's how we do this around here, although you know what? Around here is such a loose term these days, and we don't have a way of doing quite anything anymore. But the way that we've done this is a little bit different, so I'll just say three things about it. First of all, we have somebody come and basically be a witness on behalf of those who are being baptized. This is someone who's been journeying alongside them. This is someone who's been living out Matthew 28 with them, investing in their discipleship, in their followership of Jesus. And they come and give a word, a testimony about the faith, the true faith in Jesus of those who are being baptized. And so you're going to see that here in a minute. That's number one. Number two, we have the person being baptized publicly proclaim that Jesus is their Savior and King, which is pretty incredible. And we're going to see that. And then number three, what we do around here is we believe this is such a big deal that we go a little bit crazy. And I know this is going to be different because it'll be a little muzzled because we have masks on. And this is a different makeup in the room, and that's okay. But I just want to give us permission, both in our living rooms and here in this room, to when the person comes up out of the water to stand, clap. If you're someone who yells, do that. If you're at home, do a somersault or whatever you want to do. Because this is, we believe this is such a big deal, it's worth celebrating. And so we go crazy. And so, without any further explanation here, we're going to start with Will Guthrie and whoever you're bringing with you, buddy. And Dave Lawson's going to come up and help facilitate this as well.
So glad, I guess I can take this off. So glad to be with you. I'm going to pass the mic to Joel Guthrie, father of Will Guthrie.
Thank you. Will, we are pleased, super blessed to be your parents, and we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, especially love and patience, kindness and goodness, and we see that in a growing amount. We would say that we know for sure that the Lord will guide your path as you offer your abilities and interests to him, and ask that he'd fill you with hope in the power of his Holy Spirit. Super happy about this day for you.
Just trying to avoid the pass over the water. I know myself. Will, are you here today to proclaim that Jesus is your Savior and King?
Yes. Yes.
We got it mic'd. Because of that profession of faith, and you can sit down now into the glorious water. Yeah, do you want to hold it while we do this?
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead and get whatever you want.
All right. Will, because of your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo!
Smith and family. Yes, it's a special privilege. Each student or whoever's getting baptized gets to choose who's up here with them in the water, and obvious choices are parents, and I'm so privileged you get to be here. But I'm going to pass the mic over here to Jared.
I actually had to write something down. Actually, it wasn't me. It was Paul, a guy you may know. He wrote a book in Galatians to the Galatian church, and I was just thinking through, Smith, fruits, because we were asked to think about what God, Christ has done in you. And I was thinking specifically the last 2 years where you've kind of really dug in. And the message says it this way. So this is in Galatians. It says, what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much in the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others and exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needed to force our way in life, able to direct and marshal our energies wisely. And there's other, you know, things as you read scripture talking about fruits. And honestly, when I went through the list, every one of them I checked for you. Like your wisdom growing, your patience growing, your self-control, all of these things. And I was trying to narrow it. And the one that really stood out, though, is the exuberance for life. It's called joy. And it's a little all the way out there for you. And I thought, because of the water, I thought, too, of, like, the metaphor of, like, you're often this, like, deep well. And then all of a sudden you come up, and you're, like, this bubbling stream that's all over the place, and you just drop these wisdom, you know, these things. And I'm just like, whoa, that's what he's been thinking this whole time, hunkered down. And so thank you. And I just encourage you to keep letting Christ just blow you up, man. And thanks for the joy that you bring and that you so easily tap in and share. And so, praise Jesus, man.
Thank you. Will, are you here? Dang. Let's try that again. Smith, are you here today to proclaim that Jesus is your Savior and your King?
Yes.
Good answer. Nothing like getting in cold water in front of people. Smith, because of your profession of Jesus as Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Invite Ramey Coons, come on up, and Lily. All right, so, yeah. So everybody say hi, Ramey. And everybody say hi, Lily. Lily is going to share. You're welcome to keep your mask on or take it off, whichever you prefer when you're doing this. She's going to share a bit about Ramey for us. So,
yeah. All right. I'm Lily. This is Ramey. We started coming here, like, I think last winter, school semester. But Ramey is a very special person in my life. We joke a lot that our friendship started in the Chipotle off of Clinton. Beautiful day. We were both kind of going through, like, a really hard year, and I think it was an accident that we met each other at school and started to be friends and everything. But about Raimi, I was really honored that she asked me to do this. But she really loves Jesus, and she wants other people to know that. I know that sounds like a cop-out, like, just to say that, but it's really true. Mm. She often tells me, like, Lily, I just love Jesus. That really just makes me happy. And you've taught me so much about combining your love for Jesus and it being an outpouring of how you treat other people. Mm. And that's something you don't always find. People can say it, but they don't always mean it or do it. And you have just like a combination of those two things. And you've just taught me so much through that. You were so kind to other people. You always try to meet them where they're at and understand them. And to me, that's just been such a testimony of who you are and your relationship with Jesus. I'm so thankful for you because of how you've been there for me. And I'm so glad that this past year I could be there for you. I know this year was really hard. And your humbleness to come and ask me for like comfort and support is just such a sign of strength, and I envy that, really. It's such a sign of strength that you can come to others and ask for help, and that's not, you know, an easy thing to do. And I know that God has like brought you through that and is continuing to. And I'm just so honored to be a part of that journey. So I just wanted to let you know that Jesus loves you. Before anything you do before this, anything you do after this, he loves you right now, and he's proud of you, and I'm proud of you, and just thank you so much for being my friend.
Amen. Amen. Great job. Can I give this to you, Dave? And so, Raimi, are you here today? Actually, I'll need that. Are you here today to publicly proclaim that Jesus is your Savior and King?
Absolutely.
That's amazing. All right, well then let's baptize you then. Based on that testimony, yeah, if you want to, all right, so if you want to grab my arm here,
okay.
There you go. Raimi, it is an honor and privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Woo! Congratulations.
All right. Let's invite Jackson and cohort up. I mean, there's something special about these moments, like that moment in Jesus' baptism where God can't help himself but rip the heavens open and yell down like, "That's my son. I'm proud of him." Dan's been practicing that moment.
That's why I'm glad I get to go last, so I can just keep going on and on. So, my kids can tell you I'm known for my 90 to 120 minute dialogues, so buckle up, guys. No. I did write some things down. When it comes to Jackson and evidence of you following Jesus, we did ask your siblings, and it was interesting. His sisters said that they have noticed him listening to them more. So I think that's an important thing, especially for sisters. And they also have said that you've been growing in your relationship with God. And Mom and I have also noticed that you are you own things when you mess up, and you quickly admit your mistakes and want to take steps to change. And that sort of humility is a large part of following Christ. And from an early age, we saw in you a sensitivity, not necessarily sensitivity to what some people might say, like, oh, you're, because sometimes his sisters are crying and he's like, what, why are they crying? I don't understand. Like, so not that kind of sensitivity, but more of a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And we have seen you in, through studying scripture, in times of prayer, hearing and listening to the Spirit, even in dreams that you have had. And so your mom and I sometimes are following you as you listen to the voice of the Spirit. So this pattern of listening and following is part of the Christian journey. And even in this decision to be baptized, you expressed to us a time where you were listening and you felt that the warmth of the Spirit communicating with you, inviting you into this next step. And so your mom and I obviously support you in this decision and are with you as you go down and you come back up. We'll be with you as you walk along this journey.
Yeah, I feel you on the claps, right? The parents getting us to feel something. Jackson. I got the name right, Jackson. Are you here today to proclaim with your baptism that Jesus is your Savior and your King?
Yes.
Great. All right, let's get ready. All right, Jackson, because of your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, hey, you can have a seat. You know, one of the things that's been changed as we have walked through this pandemic together and its effects is every week we as a church at the pinnacle of our worship come together to the table of the Lord's Supper, but we're just not able to actually do that physically, tangibly, come to the table and eat the bread and the cup. And so just as a way to acknowledge that for us, we want to put Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection right at the very center of our worship and what we're doing, we just want to acknowledge, I want to verbally acknowledge that that's what we do at the pinnacle of our worship around here. And communion, it's interesting because communion also is primarily about union with Jesus and with his followers. It's not just a one-time act, but it's this ongoing nourishment and life that comes from union with Jesus and with his people. And at the table, we are reminded, at the table, we remember Jesus, and we remember that he lived, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised back to life, that he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and one day he will return to the earth as King. And the bread in communion, and this is, we're not going to be able to take these together, so just maybe have a moment here as Adam and Chloe lead us in this song to just reflect, and as though you were taking the bread and cup, fix your eyes on Jesus. The bread, his body given up for us on the cross on that day, and the cup, his blood shed on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins, all of them, and for this new life in union with him and with one another. And so let's take these moments, brothers and sisters, at home and right here in this room to fix our eyes on Jesus.